rifles.
Here's Jack Herman telling us about being a rifleman.
Did you record that?
Not yet. Want to repeat it? You don't have to do anything. You just talk. You don't have to do anything.
Okay, I'm considered by the Army to have been a rifleman. And the reason why I'm called a rifleman, I'll tell the whole story again.
Yeah.
Is when I was discharged, they said, well, what do you want to have on your discharge paper? Clerk, typist, or rifleman? I said, I don't care. They said, well, you'll use this discharge paper to get jobs, and nobody's going to give you a job as a rifleman. So I said, okay, I'll be a clerk typist. I don't think I ever used my discharge paper to get a job as either one.
But you did some typing.
I did. Yeah, I was a clerk typist the last 6 months that I was in the service after the war was over. See?
Where were you typing and clerking?
In Germany. When the war was over, they began to look at your records to see what skills you had. And before that, they didn't care what skills you had. You were a rifleman no matter what. Because all they wanted were riflemen. But after the war, they looked up your records, and somebody told me, well, this shows you had a course in typing while you were in high school. And I said, yes. So they said, okay, we'll send you to the office, and you'll become a typist. Clerk typist.
So did you sit in like a desk and type away?
Well, I was I processed the morning reports that all the company clerks issued to the regimental commander. And my job was to process the morning reports and to type up little things as to each man in the whole regiment. So in that sense, I was a typist. And I was a pretty literate guy, and nobody else was literate at all. So they promoted me real fast to corporal and then to sergeant.
Oh.
That's how your dad got promoted.
I was had two guys to supervise who were even younger than I was. But I spent most of my time traveling to London, to Paris, to Biarritz. A lot of my time.
Because you had leave time?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you had leftover
leave?
There
was nothing for us to do. We were there.
What was in these reports? Really nothing, right? Like.
Well, no, the morning report, every company issued a morning, the company clerk issued a morning report, every company report, every morning, telling who was on duty and who was on. So that's the only way they knew the strength of the companies.
But there was no war, so what did they care?
Well, during the war, after the war was over, nobody cared about anything, but
right.
They still went through the motions.
Right.
That's the whole business about having a standing army in peacetime. They got nothing to do.
Yeah.
And we had nothing to do. Anytime I had enough money, I would say, okay, give me a pass to Paris. And they'd give me a pass to Paris. How long do you want to be there?
A week.
Well, as long as the money ran, or, you know.
Holds up.
Holds
and
up.
How would you travel there?
By train. And usually it was all free. And
for
then,
GIs?
And then in Paris, you could get free accommodations for soldiers, but most of us went off on our own.
Mm. And stayed at a hotel or something. So you went to London and
I went to London
too?
At Thanksgiving Day, 1945. I was in London.
Wow.
And I made a telephone call to my family in Gary, Indiana on Thanksgiving Day. Cost me $12.
Oh, wow.
That was a lot of money.
That was like $400 now.
And we barely even could afford a telephone at home, but we had the telephone. And I called up, and my brother David answered. They had announced to him that there was going to be this call.
Oh.
He knew.
You went to a big location and they...
Well, there was a telephone center in London.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had like one or two lines that went underground, under the ocean, you know.
Wow.
And you had to reserve a time. You had to pay $12 for 2 minutes. And I talked to my brother David. How are you? I'm in London. oh, yeah, everybody's here, everybody's fine. How, you know, that for 2 minutes we did that. Mm. And that was Thanksgiving of 1945.
And how
was
old
that
you?
After your dad was
My dad passed? Was dead by that time.
He passed away before that.
Yeah.
And how old were you?
I was 19.
19.
My heavens, Jack.
You were a big boy already.
Wow. So they had the whole Thanksgiving dinner?
They were having Thanksgiving dinner.
Good.
Where did you meet Bluma?
Well,
at my house.
Really?
I was a friend of her brother's. We went to Hebrew school together.
Okay.
And I used to sometimes go to his house and he'd go to my house.
Kitchen table. This whole business, and then I'll put out a sweet table.
Okay. You think I should make heat up my pie?
His house had all these women. Her house.
Her
three had three sisters.
Right.
And her mother. And I'd go to the house and I'd pay wouldn't pay any attention to the sisters. You know. Till she grew up.
Bluma.
Well, none of the sisters were your age, exactly.
Oh, they were. I know, but
they were older than you.
Yeah, they were quite vocal.
Her sisters were vocal?
Vocal,
I can't believe it.
Oh, yeah. Very vocal.
Very vocal.
So very we would go down to the basement. Sure. We'd go down to the basement and play cards. That's all.
We played poker or what?
Well, we played poker. We played chess. We played...
We didn't play bridge.
No, we didn't play bridge. So I sort of knew her, but then I never noticed her till she grew up.
That's not unlike our story. Hmm?
That's right.
Tommy grew up.
You didn't have older sisters.
So what? What would when you would hang out with Herschel? What would be like a typical? You play cards, but would you go out and do stuff?
Yeah, we'd go to the
movies.
No, I don't. Mostly we'd play poker and hang out. And sometimes we'd go to birthday parties and things like that. I was telling Bluma the other day, you were talking about men who harass women have a history of... And I was telling her about Irene Fesco. Did I ever tell you about Irene Fesco?
No. Who's
well, you're going to if I put this on there, you're probably going to put this in the New York Times.
In the New Yorker. We're going to go for the New Yorker.
Should I tell the Irene Fesco story?
How did you harass Irene Fesco?
Well, all right, we're 16 years old, and we're taking dramatics in high school, and we put on a Romeo and Juliet. And I was playing Romeo, and we've seen scenes from Romeo and Juliet.
Right.
Isaac.
And Irene Fesco was a cute girl about my size. She was short, so they teamed her up with me. And, you know, there were various groups of playing. And, you know, there's this scene where in the tomb where Juliet pretends to be dead, or she's acting like she's dead, but she only had potion. And Romeo comes in,
and thinks she's dead,
and he takes a poison. He says, "Thus with a kiss I die."
Right.
He kisses her and he dies, and then she wakes up and she sees he's dead, so she takes the poison. So all right, so we're in this scene, and Juliet is lying there on her back, face up, and I come in with Romeo, and she's dead. I think she's dead, and I'm going to commit suicide. And I say, "Thus with a kiss I die," and I get down and kiss her. All right, and I kiss her. Feels pretty good. I kiss her.
Is this Bluma?
No, this is Irene.
This is Irene
Fesco.
Irene Fesco when was 16.
When we were 16.
I got you. Okay.
And I just didn't feel like quit stopping, you know what I mean? I was just kept doing it.
It was a good kiss.
And the audience is beginning to rustle a little bit. And Irene is saying, and she's pushing me with the other hand, and I'm enjoying it. So finally, I figure I'm going to get in trouble. Finally, I get up.
Oh, Jack.
What do you think of that? Did you gonna put that in the New York
Times?
We got it on tape now, mister.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
This was recorded with Jack Herman on Thanksgiving, November 23rd, 2017. We are eating and dessert, waiting for dessert after a delicious meal. Jack Herman and Bluma Herman in their home in Skokie, Illinois. And Jack is 93 years old.
No, she's saying Jack Herman the pervert.
He's probably running for the Congress or something.